Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora up to speed. Okay, well, of course, you know that right about now, it's about to be another very beautiful edition of Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And, of course, it's the voice of Yoyin Sola right here. Okay, so on today's edition of Diaspora Discourse, who are we going to be talking to? Well, even if I ask for you to take a wild guess, you definitely not even guess right. Anyway, we will be talking to Mr. Kayode Adedeji. Good day to you, sir. Hello.
Everybody that is listening to me today. Yeah.
All right.
How are you people?
Very well. How are you doing?
Yeah, everything is all right. We thank God.
Thank God. Okay, you're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Okay, so Mr. Kayode Adedeji, well, I know your name for sure, but at this point, I'll let you introduce yourself and, of course, tell us more about Kayode Adedeji.
Well, thank you for the opportunity given to me. My name is Antonio Kayode Adedeji. I was born and bred in Nigeria in the year 1980. So I'm a loyal Nigerian. I live in Australia with my family. I've got a wife and three beautiful daughters. And what else? Yeah, I schooled in Nigeria. I went to Baptist Boys High School, then Moshood Abdullah Polytechnic in the same Abeokuta. And then later, you know, life had to bring me down here to Australia. And I've been here for some years now, and yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, all right. So from the little introduction you've given, let me ask my question. So first of all, let me establish your Nigerianness. I know that you're Nigerian, but let us go deep into it. What part of Nigeria are you from?
I'm a Yoruba. I'm a Yoruba man.
Okay.
From Ogun State.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
okay.
Ogun State, Abeokuta.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah. Is that the answer you expect?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Okay.
So you're from Ogun State, Abeokuta. And then you lived where when you were in Nigeria? Ogun State as well?
Ogun State, Abeokuta. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you were born in Ogun State and you grew up in Ogun State.
Yeah. Grew up in Ogun State. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Although I lived in some other parts of Nigeria too, like Ibadan and Lagos, but I'm mainly from Abeokuta. So,
All right. Thank you very much for that. All right. Let's talk about, let's talk about when and why you left Nigeria for the diaspora, for Australia to be precise. How many years have you been in Australia?
Well, I came into Australia in 2006.
Okay.
And then I came as an international student.
Hmm.
And I think I chose to come to Australia because I have an elder sister that has been here for, you know, a few years, and then she happened to be the firstborn of our family.
Okay.
And I don't know, you didn't ask me this question, but I'm gonna tell you.
Please.
I have six beautiful sisters.
Okay.
And being the only male in the family, you know, it's not that I was spoiled, but my sisters always want the best for me. You know, you understand what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and she being the first, being the first child, you know, she always wants all her siblings to prosper in life, and you know, achieve lots of things. So she gave me that opportunity that, you know, would you mind to come to Australia and continue your studies and this and that? And I saw the opportunity and I grabbed it, because people say, you know, opportunity comes but once. Okay. And if you don't grab it, you might not have the same opportunity again. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed it in 2006.
Okay.
And I came into Australia, you know, and then the rest is history. Yeah.
Okay, so between 2006 to this particular year, 2020, how many times have you visited? Oh, of course, you might not be able to give me an accurate number, but how often do you visit Nigeria?
Well, I was in Nigeria last year.
Okay.
And then During the time that I was an international student, you know, my wife was in Nigeria then. She was my girlfriend then. So I normally go to Nigeria to visit. You know, being an international student, you cannot just be flying like that. You cannot just be going up and down like that. You know, if you look at the map, you'll see that where Australia is located, you know, and where Nigeria is located, is not a child's play. You get what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's not somewhere you can just wake up tomorrow and say, hey, I'm going to Nigeria, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was an international student, I used to go to Nigeria like every 2 years,
okay.
You know, and then just to visit, you know, and just to just touch base with, you know, with my friends, families and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But later, you know, when I got my permanent residency and my wife joined me here, you know, I don't really have much to take in Nigeria anymore, you know, but I still go because my dad is still there. My mom is still there. And, you know, I have lots of siblings there. So I still go to Nigeria. So I was in Nigeria last year. And then before that, about 2 years earlier, so I was in Nigeria also. So I can say since 2006 till date, I've been going to Nigeria like every 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
So every 2 or 3 years, I do go to Nigeria. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that information. And, you know, in the process of talking, when you asked that, would you like to visit Australia? Of course, that was the question that your sister asked you. I was confused for a moment. I was like, okay, is that question for me? Before you now completed the question, I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't for me. So I was thinking of the reply to give to you at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, okay. that was the opportunity that my sister gave to me.
Yes,
you know,
I understand.
Would you like to come? Because, you know, there are some people that don't want to leave Nigeria. You understand what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there are some people that just want to go to the US, to the UK just for holiday.
Yes.
They like to come to Australia just for holiday. They are not really keen about, you know, living in the Western world full time, you know. They are happy with their life in Nigeria.
Well, definitely.
So
we'll
that was what
that.
My... See, Yeah,
definitely. We'll still come to that because I still have, I'm still going to ask you some questions in that line. And, you know, you talked about how you visit, you used to visit then because of your wife, who was your girlfriend then, and because of your family members. And that was the reason you used to visit Nigeria. And I think you said something about, because of your wife, I mean, which was your girlfriend, that was the only reason you used to visit Nigeria. And I was going to ask at that point that there was no other reason to visit Nigeria. Was it just because of your loved ones? Talking about, you know, the fact that you are a Nigerian and you left Nigeria to school and you've been there for quite some time. I mean, your connection. I want to know about your connection with Nigeria, aside your family members and aside, you know, your loved ones in general?
Well, you know, Nigeria to me is a place that, you know, that will always be, you know, on my mind. You know, either I have family there or not, you know, that's my motherland, you know. And when I left Nigeria, I was of age. You understand? Had it been that I left Nigeria at a very tender age, like, you know, maybe as a teenager or as, you know, as a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, I might not be able to establish like a good link with the motherland, with Nigeria, you know. But I left, you know, as, I was almost 30 years old when I left Nigeria. So even if I don't have families there, the fact that I'm going back to where I was born, you know, is enough to say, hey, I just need a break from this place. Because sometimes, you know, you live in the Western world, there's a culture shock when I first came here. And, you know, the opportunity to escape from everything here and go back to Nigeria. Because sometimes when you are not motivated enough, the only place you can go back to is your motherland. And when you get back there, you feel motivated, you feel charged to come back. You understand? Although one of the reasons why I had to go back was because, you know, I need to see my people, I need to see, you know, my friends, I need to see my girlfriend, I need to see lots of time. I need to also, you know, fix some of the projects that I've been doing before I came to Australia. So those are the reasons why I just had to go. And, you know, being an international student, you know, you cannot be too far away from your studies.
True.
There are some times that maybe we are on holiday, you know, and the holiday might be like a month or two. So I was like, okay, let me go to Nigeria, spend 2 weeks. 2 weeks is very, very short. But, you know, for you to go to Nigeria, stay there for 2 weeks and come back here is still a lot. True. For you to say that, you know, you've reconnected back to your roots.
Okay, all right. Well, definitely, you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned the project that you were into before you left Nigeria as an international student.
Yeah.
And you mentioned some other things, but let's take it one after the other. Well, the very first one, which I should have asked initially, but, you know, I kept some things kept coming up. Talking about moving to Australia in 2006, and of course, I know that you've been able to establish that you went there as an international student. I want to know about your experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because, you know, I always do this because I need to hear directly from people about the experience of living in Nigeria for the diaspora, because people have an understanding. Well, not everybody. Some people have an understanding that when you leave for the diaspora, something magical happens. That, you know, you're automatically money, everything comes easy. We understand that it's an environment that, well, depending on the country, it's an environment that cooperates with your dreams, and you tend to achieve things easier and faster and all of that. But I love to hear from people. I want to know the experience directly from, you know, people who have experienced it. So please, I want to know your experience. And first of all, before I even ask for your experience, please, what do you do for a living in Australia?
Well, I work with the government department. I work in the health and human services department, you know, mainly as a disability support worker.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Yeah. A disability support worker. So okay. I work with people that are a bit challenged. Mm. You know, I don't want to use the word challenge for them, but I call them abled people, you know.
Okay.
In Nigeria, we don't really, we call them like, we use a different, you know, way or connotation, but for them, you know. But because we live in a social, we live in a country that has a good social system, you know, so I believe they are much more treated well in this part of the world. And, you know, I'm one of the professionals in the field.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to know about your experience and how, you know, the build up to your career. But before then, let's take it from the root. How did this all happen? How did you end up in that field? And, you know, what was it like? when you arrived in Australia?
Okay. I'll tell you that coming to Australia to be an international student is not a joke. You understand?
Okay.
It is like a mixture of sweetness and soreness and eye-opening, and then you're going to, you know, be so surprised. You understand?
Okay.
You know, because if you are not prepared for what you are going to face in this country, you know, you'll just be surprised. You know, many people will watch movies in Nigeria and see people go to America and UK, and then the way the way African movies or Nollywood movies present living in the Western world is totally different from the reality. You know, because coming here as an international student, I would give all the credits to my sister that paid my school fees. You know, she paid my first school fees, and then I had to come in and start, you know, let me use the word hustling, you know.
Okay.
You know, you have to hustle to make the next school fees.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you just have to look for a job to do. And then, it's unlike Nigeria, it's unlike Nigeria that, you know, when you are a student, you might not be able, some don't have any job. Everything is all on their parents, you know. Their parents will be sending them money, and then they'll be paying their school fees. Here, when you are an international student, I tell you, you have to work to pay your school fees. And this is not a cheap fee. You know, I could remember vividly that when I came to Australia, my school fees then was like, I think it was like $18,000 per year, which means we have two semesters. So which means every semester was like $9,000. You understand?
Yes.
And for you to convert even $18,000 into Nigerian currency, you know, if somebody were to give me that type of money in Nigeria, you know, I would have been like, you know, I'm okay in Nigeria. Let me use this money to be transacting business. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So I had to look for work. I had to be paying my school fees, you know. And another thing that happened to me, I'm only speaking for myself.
Okay.
Another thing that happened to me then was the culture shock, you know. The culture shock that you are in this environment, you are just about to, you know, to just try your best and come out successfully. Because in this type of environment, when you are an international student, there is no room for failure. Because you know how much you are paying, you know where you are coming from, you know many people that are expecting you to succeed. So you just have to make it in life. You have to make it here as an international student.
And then you
so
need
it's
to,
a bit
to,
different.
I understand the challenge or the responsibility of having to leave your country to another, you know, for another country, to school, and the expectations, you know, attached to the responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I tell you, because if you are coming from Nigeria, and then if you can survive living in Nigeria, you can survive anywhere. You
tell
know,
me about it.
It's part of our, it's part of our DNA that no matter how people see things being hard, Nigerians always see it as if, you know, thing, it's harder from, it's even much more harder from where I was coming from, you know.
Let me chip in a very quick question. Is it about the environment?
Yeah.
Or it's just the Nigerian spirit?
I will tell you that it's the Nigerian spirit. You know, Nigerian, because if you look at how Nigerians travel everywhere, there are even some places that Nigerians will go that they don't speak English. Thank God Australia speaks English, and that's one of the reasons that I'm able to come and blend quickly. If it were to be a country that they don't speak English, I might not be able to cope. But
absolutely,
I discovered that there are Nigerians that are going to countries where, you know, they don't even speak English and they thrive. You understand? Mm. Even if Australia, yeah, even if they don't speak English, I believe, you know, if I come to this country and they don't speak English, I'll still try. Mm. I'll still find a way to make sure that I legally survive, you know, yeah.
I like the word, you chose the word carefully, legally survive, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That is very important.
All right, well, thank you for establishing that fact. All right, so pardon me, you were saying something before I chipped in that question.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, how, you know, being an international student.
Yes, yes.
How you had to go up and, you know, look for job. And
okay, so you were talking about culture shock.
Yeah, yeah. So the culture shock part is that, you know, I didn't really feel too frustrated about the people and mixing with people, but the educational part of it was what was like an eye opener for me. Mm. You know, in Nigeria, you know how we talk to our lecturers, you know, and
how to ask your questions.
Yeah,
and how even back. If
exactly, you know. You know, even in Nigeria, even if one of your lecturers is about to be a doctor, you know, you understand. Yes. Some lecturers will actually like them to be called a doctor or something, you know, with that respect. But one of the things that happened to me here was that I was about behaving like that to some of my lecturers here. Mm-hmm. And then you will hear that the lecturer will tell you that, oh, my name is John. And even if you want to address them or you want to talk to them, you'll call them by their first name. So I was so surprised that, look at these people, you know, upon all their degrees, you know, they still want you to address them by, hey, Mr. John, or just John, or, you know, they are so approachable. I'm not saying Nigerian lecturers are not approachable. I'm not saying that the way they are in Nigeria is, you know, causing, is making us to feel as if we are being disrespected.
Okay.
What works for us in Nigeria is different from what works here.
Absolutely.
You understand? Mm. Respect is our foundation in Nigeria.
True.
And that's what our culture is actually based on. You understand?
True.
So it's just different. Like, I felt so surprised, you know, being able to approach a lecturer and the lecturer wouldn't see you as if you are disrespectful by even talking to me in the first place. Mm. You know, it was like an eye-opener. Mm. And there are lots of things that, you know, in Nigeria, it was a bit difficult then when I was schooling in Nigeria.
Okay.
But coming here, I discovered that, you know, things are actually simple. Things are easy to achieve, you know. Than any other places, yeah.
Okay, so talking about the educational system and talking about, you know, achievement with ease in other countries. So you're saying that, you know, compared to Nigeria, the educational system is easier in terms of the relationship with lecturers, for one. And, okay, but that's the only thing you've mentioned, the relationship with lecturers. But, you know, as you were saying that, something struck, because, you know, you also made mention of the fact that what happens in Nigeria does not, what works in Nigeria might not work in another country, which I quite agree. But, you know, you also said something, I'm trying to remember what it is not right now, but talking about respect, I feel like the environment in Nigeria, talking about how you have to struggle and hustle to achieve certain things. I think that is one major reason people tend to be very strict when it comes to how you address them. Because if we're looking at these lecturers, what some of them had to go through to, you know, to finally reach that particular position. They want to be reminded every day that, look, it costs you a lot to be here. So, doctor, professor, well, that's what I think. That's just my own opinion. All right, thank you very much. But what else would you have to say about the educational system in Australia, aside the relationship with the lecturers?
Well, the educational system in Australia is a very beautiful one. You know, that you can actually achieve whatever you want to achieve. just like Nigeria, you know. But it's just that the educational system here is so, you know, like straightforward. You can achieve whatever you want to achieve. You can decide to retool. You know, I never mentioned to you that I actually studied accounting in Nigeria, and I worked, you know, for some years.
Okay.
And when I came to Australia also, I continued with my accounting. I worked for some, you know, for some companies for some years before I retooled into working in the health sector.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Which means at any stage in your life that you feel like, you know, I've done it, I need to change, I want to retool, you know, you can do it at any stage in Australia. That's why the educational system is so good. Like in Nigeria, you know, I'm not like putting Nigeria down. I'm not, it's not that I'm thinking, it's not that I'm feeling like, you know, living in the Western world is far, far, far better than living in Nigeria. Nigeria has its advantages and disadvantages.
Yes, likewise any other country Australia, in the world.
Exactly. But, you know, it's so unique in here, in Australia here, that people can decide, you are the only person that can decide what you want to do. You understand?
True.
I have a reason for saying that I don't want to be working in that field anymore. I want to be working in this field. You know, you need to see there are some things that I enjoy, you know, working in this field than working in the other field. You get what I mean?
Absolutely.
So the educational system is very helpful and it's very progressive, you know, but in Nigerian educational system, you know, we have situation whereby, you know, the lecturers and the educational system is not well funded as it's supposed to be. And that's why when you look, I have friends in Ghana, I have friends in the US and UK that, you know, because of the poor educational system, I'm sorry to use that word poor, but because of how the educational system is not being well funded, they have decided to go overseas in search of, you know, their educational pursuits. And the money that we are paying as an international student, you know, is not something cheap. It's something that we would have paid that even all these private universities, I think even Australian universities are even charging more than all these private universities in Nigeria. But, you know, we still try as much as possible to pay the money here. But if you look at the Nigerian system, we might not be able to afford, a student might not be able to afford that school fees in Nigeria, but the opportunity that Australian system gives is that as an international student, you can still work and still educate yourself, and there won't be any burden on anybody, maybe your parents or uncle. Mm. It means you can survive on your own. Mm. You understand what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yes, please. I'm with you. Yeah, so I've said everything.
All right. So is the another thing is, aside the relationship between the lecturer and the student, another thing is the flexibility in the educational system, right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's move on. As we've been able to touch the your educational experience in Australia. So after your education, what happened next?
Yeah. Well, after my education, one of the things that most international students are after is about getting job and then getting your permanent residency.
Okay.
You know, there are some that have the opportunity of saying that, hey, you know, I want to go back to Nigeria to work in Nigeria, you know. But I didn't actually follow that opportunity of going back to Nigeria to work.
Okay.
You know,
the reason is
best known. Well, maybe because I've decided that, you know, because I've worked in Nigeria before and I know what I faced working in Nigeria. So this is a different environment. I've studied here. the best thing I needed to do was to get the experience I needed here. You understand what I mean?
Okay.
You know, I've studied here. The best thing is to get your permanent residency, work here, and then if you feel like you want to settle in this type of country, why not? If you feel like you want to settle in Nigeria, why not? So I chose to just stay in Australia and then, keep living here.
Okay. All right. And so far, what can you say about your experience in general?
Well, my experience is just I've had like a fantastic experience. To the glory of God, I'm not complaining. I have my family here, and then I can say I'm doing well. You know, Nigeria will always be home to me. Australia also will always be home. So I don't really have any regrets, you know, living outside Nigeria or living in Australia, you know, because everything I've hoped for has actually worked out. You understand? But it is, everything has never been on a platter of gold.
Absolutely.
You know, there has been lots of, you know, labors. There has been lots of, you know, you toiling, you know, there has been lots of disappointment, you know, before I can say all these things. You know, it takes time for people.
Yeah, you were saying something. It takes time for what, sir?
Yeah, it takes time to for people that come as an international student to be able to say this, you know, because I remember that at some stage as an international student, I felt like going back to Nigeria, you know, because the stress and, you know, life generally was a bit difficult. But when you remember where you are coming from and what you've left behind and where you are hoping to go, you know, that alone will keep pushing you towards your desired goal.
Very true. I totally agree with that point. Okay, I was going to ask you another question. Well, this... okay, fine. Let me just ask it. As a Nigerian, in your journey, you know, to achieving your dreams, did you experience or did you at some point feel like being Nigerian or being black and streamlining it to being Nigerian, do you ever think that it hindered certain opportunities?
In Australia, yeah?
Yes.
I will say that no, actually. You know, there are some few instances that, you know, there are some micro situations that will happen, and you will feel like, you know, like there are some instances that you will hear some news about some Nigerians that did this and did that, you know, but it's like something that is normal to every community or any country. There are good and bad people. And there are some times that people will be like, you know, you didn't get that job because you are a Nigerian or you are an African. You understand? Mm-hmm. But there are also many opportunities where being Nigerian has actually helped to achieve, you know, whatever you want to achieve. You know, I remember going for a job interview and I happened to be like the only African there, you know. And then the interviewers, they were asking me that, oh, where did you learn to speak English, you know? Did
wow.
you, because maybe the people that they've been interviewing before are not from West Africa and they struggle with their, you know, with the English, you know. And then the people were so surprised, you know, because I can even remember that when I was an international student, many of my classmates were Asians. They were from China. And then that was how I ended up having lots of Chinese friends, because they can't speak good English. So they become my friends and they will be practicing. And they were all surprised that, oh, you know, you speak good English. You know, they wish they can speak like me, you know. So I can say being a Nigerian has actually done lots of positive things to me, you know, and it has actually helped. You know, I'm just speaking for myself, you know. I know that there are some other people that will say that, oh, you know, immediately people know that you are a Nigerian, they don't want to help. But Australia is such a very different and place, you know, that people respect each other. Respect is reciprocal. You know, if you want to respect people, if you want to be respected, you have to respect people too. And I believe, when you respect people, they will respect you back. Yeah.
Talking about that, I was actually going to ask before you answer the question, you know, talking about how, you know, because you are Nigerian, it has, you know, it helped in certain places, you know, it helped with certain opportunities. And, you know, some people will say otherwise. And because of that, I wanted to ask that, does it have to do with the person? Does it have to do with... you know, the kind of person or something that you have to do differently in order to be treated like, in order to be respected as a Nigerian, or, you know, it's just a person thing, or it's just, you know, a normal thing in Australia, or you have to act in a certain way before you can be regarded and before you can be respected as a Nigerian.
I think everybody in the world nowadays know a little bit of Nigeria. They know, you'll be surprised that I even met someone here, you know, about, I think about 10 years ago. And this elderly Australian was telling me about, those years that he had lived in Nigeria, you know, and then, that they used to visit, you know, Fela Kuti's shrine, you know. This was an elderly man that was just, I think we were just sitting beside each other in the train. I was surprised, you understand? And then he was the one that started the conversation that, hello, and I said, hi. And he said, let me guess where you come from. And I said, guess. And he said, West Africa. And I was like, I was so surprised that, how did you know? He said, and let me say you are from Nigeria. I was so surprised that, you know, I thought, is this man an angel or what? And I said, how did you know that I'm from Nigeria? And he said, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you carry yourself, you know, tells me that you are from West Africa and you are a Nigerian, you know. So wherever you go, people know a lot, they know a little bit about, don't let me say a little bit, they know a lot about Nigerians. And they know that, you know, to some extent, we are good at what we do, you know. Even if you see a Nigerian cleaning the road, sweeping our road here, they will do it very well. And we also have Nigerians that are medical doctors, that are professors, that are teachers, that are nurses, you know, that are very good at what they do.
Absolutely.
So that alone speaks a lot of, you know, positivity, that people will be like, they are expecting you to perform. And also, the same way, we have Nigerians that are otherwise. So people know that it's a mixture of everything. Nigerians are just good. So it opens doors, and then I believe that's one of the positive things I've faced in here being a Nigerian.
Great. And, you know, saying that, you know, the way people know that they are Nigerians who are good and who are absolutely good at what they do is the same way that they know Nigerians who are otherwise. And, you know, it is absolutely normal, because I'm not sure that there's a particular country in the world where all of them are saints and all of them are just perfect. So I think it is general. I think it happens everywhere in the world, if you would agree with me.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, thank you very much. I'm looking at the time. Okay, well, we still have some time. Let's still touch certain areas. All right, so talking about your business, you mentioned that before you left Nigeria, you had a couple of projects you were working on. Do you still have those projects existing in Nigeria? And if yes, then how are they flourishing in your absence?
Well, when I left Nigeria, I was working with a company, with an accounting firm in Abeokuta, doing the Otumba Gbenga Daniel, you know, when OGD was the governor of Ogun State. And then, you know, when I left, my boss thought I was coming back, you know, and then that was what I told them, that I'm just going for a quick course and I'll be back, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, when I came here, you know, when I was going, I knew that I might not come back because they didn't want to let me go, you know. But when I got here, I saw life, I saw an opportunity to start all over again, you know. So I had to go back in order to get some of the remunerations that I was supposed to have got before I left, you know. And apart from that, I have, you know, some little projects that I was doing before I left Nigeria. And you know that in Nigeria, if you are doing, if you want anything to be done well, you know, you have to look after it yourself, you know. So the opportunity to be living in Australia actually gave me more opportunity to be able to invest more in Nigeria, because I still see Nigeria as a place that either I like it or not, I have to go back to Nigeria, you know, to live in Nigeria. Nigeria is home for me. Australia is home for me. So why not invest where you believe, you know, you call home? So my project are still doing good in Nigeria. And that's one of the reasons why I find myself going back to Nigeria all the time.
Great. All right. Well, you also mentioned something about if you in Nigeria, if you have something you're doing well business wise and you want it to flourish, you have to do it by yourself. And I wanted to ask, that is it just a Nigeria thing, or it is everywhere in the world? If you have something going on and you want it to flourish, you might have to look after it by yourself.
Well, maybe that is just the way I feel.
Okay.
But I believe that Nigeria in particular, you know, it's not that you don't have people that can look after things for you, but at some stage in life, before you have trust in people, you have to do some things by yourself. Once you lay the foundation of what you want to achieve, then you can hand over things to people that, hey, I want you to do this. I have people at home that if I want anything done, it's just a matter of text message.
Great.
You know, give them what they need to do, give them instructions, and they get everything done.
Exactly.
You know. But at that stage, it was still like a stage where it's not that I don't have trust in those people, but I just had to go back, fix what I need to fix, so that they can then build on what I had organized. You understand what I mean? So I believe everybody have their own way of doing things, you know, but most especially Nigerians, we are a different set of people, you know.
Absolutely. Well, when you say different, let me not go into that. I would have asked in what way, but let me not go into that. Anyway, thank you very much. You've been able to establish quite a couple of things. And I was going to ask, well, I'm looking at my time at the same time. I'm trying to be very careful. Anyway, it brings me to this question. Well, very soon, Nigeria is going to be 60. And that is 1st of October in a couple of weeks. That is even next week. Nigeria is going to be 60. And at Spirit of Nigeria Radio, we are celebrating 60 Nigeria at 60 diaspora icons. Now, what this means is that we are celebrating Nigerians in the diaspora who are shining like the Nigeria light and flying high the Nigeria flag. We are trying to put them out to the world as an evidence of great Nigerians, that Nigerians are capable of great, beautiful and amazing things. So I'm throwing this platform open to you, and I'm asking you to nominate your Nigerian who is in the diaspora, who is shining like the Nigeria light and flying high the Nigeria flag.
You mean only one person?
No, please, as many as possible, please. I do not mind.
I have lots of people that I believe that they are doing well here.
Okay.
You know, when I say doing well, it's not all about money or it's not all about fame.
Mm.
But when you see how those people talk, how they move, how they work in the community, how they try to unite, you know, people from different cultures, you know, they are a group of people that you need to, that we look up to,
mm-hmm.
you know. I remember coming to Australia in 2006, there are some people that put me through, you know. These and these and these and these are how you can survive in this country. And I followed those formats, and I still do the same thing to many international students that come into the country nowadays, and I believe they are flourishing. So I would like to talk about Mr. Olawale Olaitan.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Am I allowed to mention names?
Yes, please. We need the names. But, you know, at the same time, we want to know that they are actually impacting positively in their different fields. We have Anthony Joshua nominated, and we have a couple of other people mm-hmm. nominated. So yes, please go.
Yeah. So these people, do you want the people that are living in Australia here?
No,
or
not
just
Australia
in the world?
Alone, in the world. In the world.
Okay, in the world. Well, like I said, I have Mr. Wale Olaitan just because of what he's been doing in the community, in Nigerian community here.
Okay.
You know, he's somebody that you can trust.
Okay.
He's somebody that is always up and doing.
Okay.
You know, I really respect his courage and, you know, his personality.
Mm-hmm.
And another person that I'm a fan of UFC. You understand what UFC is, right?
Please shed more light.
Okay, UFC is like, you know, it's like what Anthony Joshua does,
okay.
you know. And then there is this Nigerian that has been, you know, like fighting for, you know, trying to represent Nigeria,
okay.
you know.
Okay.
And then every time he goes to the ring to fight, you know, I just love the guy and I just respect, you know, what he does.
Okay.
You know, because I think I just lost his name now. I can't remember his name anymore, but, you know, there are lots of Nigerians out there that are doing wonderful things, and then I forgot his name now. I'm sorry about this.
No, please. It's fine. But it's not a problem. We have some names that have been nominated. We have Shade Adu. We have Peter Badijo. I'm trying to remember this name. Anthony Joshua. Yes, I already mentioned Anthony Joshua. We have a couple other names. And, of course, he's on the website. He's on Spirit of Nigeria Radio website. And just in case you need an understanding of, a clear understanding of what I'm talking about, I'll just refer you to our website, spiritofnigeriaradio.com. Spiritofnigeriaradio.com. You can check out our website and you will see the 60 mm-hmm. Nigeria 60 diaspora icons. And you will see the names that have already been nominated. And then you can click on the form and you can help fill the form, nominate. So just when you remember the names of the people you want to nominate, please kindly fill the form and help us with the nomination.
Of course,
yes.
I will do that.
Spiritofnigeriaradio.com.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Mr. Kayode Adedeji,
yeah.
it's been exciting doing this with you, and of course I've learned quite a couple of things, and well, definitely I know that it is only just the beginning, and it is there's always still enough time to triumph. And please do not forget that of course it is your dream. I can't ask you to not forget your dream. Return it to Nigeria to still do, you know, a whole lot of things, because together as Nigerians we will and we can make our country great in terms of development and every change that we want to see. All right, thank you very much, Mr. Kayode. Please do enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much. Can I quickly make a quick shout out to my dad?
Please do that.
Tomorrow is my dad's birthday. My dad is going to be 86 years old tomorrow. So I just wish him a long life, and I know he's getting to that age, you know, but I just want to say we love him, and we pray for him that he spends his birthday in a happy place, and then never we'll always remember him.
Happy birthday in advance to your dad, Mr. Adedeji. Well, we say a very happy birthday to him
as well,
and we celebrate with him. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, we celebrate with your dad, Mr. Adedeji, and we say long life and prosperity. All right, thank you so much, Mr.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you too. Enjoy the rest of your day. All right, sir.
You too. Right. Bye. See you. Bye.
Right, thank you. Okay, so that is it on Diaspora Discourse for today with Mr. Kayode Adedeji. And of course, it was absolutely enlightening doing this. All right, well, coming up next on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, you'll find out. Stay with us.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in diaspora closer home.